Last week, John gave an introduction to the Ten Commandments. And one of the things that we're very aware of when we reflect on the Ten Commandments is that they do at least two things. They tell us something very clearly about God, and they tell us something very clearly about ourselves. And there's many other things as well. But those are two things that are abundantly clear. And can I move this lollipop? Because it's... It seems to answer my face. Can you still hear me? Jolly good. Anyway, what we're seeing in this commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. The Lord is speaking to his people, and he's making an incredibly clear statement. The reason why, basically, the Lord is saying you shall have no other gods but me is because there is only one true God. Now, I know all of you know that, but this is an important thing to emphasize and understand. There is only one true God. Now, of course, we know in our world that people are following, worshipping, giving time to many, many gods. And we know those gods can fall into the category of another religion, and therefore upteen gods if you're a Hindu, and Allah if you're a Muslim, and all different concepts and ideas around a religious view of life which is devoid of life and doesn't have the living God at the centre of it. But then we also know that as well as people having other religions, philosophy, way of looking at life and who's responsible, how it's come about, and all of that sort of issue, we know that there are many objects and many idols and many preoccupations, passions, things that people have an interest in that become like gods in their life. And in that category, of course, we've all got to be very careful. As far as I know, no one in Lancing Tab has got a secret sort of cupboard in their house with a few idols in it that they bring out from time to time and say prayers to. However, where we've been and where some of you have been over the years, that is a reality and it is something to address. People feel that this bit of wood has some power, it has some influence, and therefore they worship it. There's loads of superstition, worship of ancestors, all sorts of things that preoccupy people. But certainly here in the West, though that might be true for some, we do know and we're very humbled and very aware that there can be things that come before God in our lives. They become an idol. There's some occupation, it could be a hobby, it could be another person. There can be many different things that come to swallow up our time, swallow up our interest. And we are called to have no other gods but God. We are called to make sure there is no one that we worship, no one that we give time to, more than we give time to God. And what the Lord is saying to us is that basically it is not a waste of time to give yourself to anything other than the true and living God. And this is what is very frustrating and very sad, that people should attempt to give an allegiance to something that is false and something that is not actually real and something that will do them no good whatsoever. So when the Lord says, have no other gods before me, God is managing perfectly well if none of us bother to worship him. It's for us that we need to heed and understand this statement. It's for our benefit. We can be investing time and money and all sorts of things in other objects of worship, whatever, and they are futile. In fact, we can go as far as to say that there is also a very real demonic role that's taking place in terms of diverting people's attention from the living God. Only the living God of the Bible is going to put us on the road to heaven. And therefore, any other God, any other faith, any other belief, any other philosophy is ultimately going to put people on the road to hell. And therefore, that is why we're tenacious and that's why we're clear that there is only one God and he has revealed himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing that I believe is important for us to understand when we consider have no other gods before me is that our God is a jealous God. Now that's something that we normally associate as being bad, jealousy, but what is very clear in the Bible is that God does not want us to give our affection, our passion, our desire to anyone or anything other than him. And he is very, very desirous that we pour ourselves into him. Now again, that is very much for our benefit. Have no other gods before me. God says, I'm jealous when you give yourself to anything, whatever, that is going to take your attention away from me. I'm a jealous God. I'm an angry God. I'm a God of wrath. I can see how destructive this is. And yet we know also that God is a God of great love. How has God made himself known? This God who says, have no other gods but me, he's made himself known through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are such wonderful passages. I was going to read some of them, but for time I won't. But, you know, you look at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 1, you look at Colossians chapter 1, you look at Hebrews chapter 1, and in those chapters you have glowing, wonderful descriptions of God as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, the brightness of the Father's glory. This God who's been revealed to us is an omnipotent God, an omniscient God, an omnipresent God. He is a God who has come into our world in the person of Jesus to make an incredibly clear message. We are loved, and God is so much wanting us to give our affection and our time to him, because submitted to him, we're going to be able to find a purpose for life that we will never find in anything or anyone or anything else whatsoever. No other gods before me. God is the God. There isn't any other God. Oh yes, other people, other religions have given a name to it, but there is no reality in it. Unless, as I've said, there is some demonic activity, and there certainly is that in some of the other religions. And some, of course, will find that pretty hard to swallow, and I think that's not a very nice thing to say. But it's the reality. The devil wants to ensnare and destroy. And therefore, if he can give a guise of God in some other form that is not actually God at all, he loves to deceive. He loves to distract. He loves to divert. He loves to put people on a path that's ultimately going to lead to their destruction. No other gods before me. There is only one true God. He is a jealous God, and he is jealous for us to give our affection, our worship, our praise, all that we are to him. He's an infinite God. He's an eternal God. He's a holy God. All of these things and more are characteristics of the God who we are called to put first. And essentially, Jesus sums it up, doesn't he, when he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. What our preoccupation can be, happily, is just to discover the depth and the wonder of our God. Some people would look at this passage and feel a bit offended. None of us here, I trust. But people would feel a bit offended. No other gods but me. What's this all about? No, there is no alternative. There is only one God. And he is just like a treasure chest. There is just so much to discover about this one true God. And we can spend the whole of our lives, even we'll spend eternity, still unraveling the greatness, the majesty, the glory of our God. As you look at this again, you can see how incredibly ridiculous it is to give your time, your attention, your money, your focus to anything, anyone other than the living God. Have no other gods but me. Let's pray. Father, we pray for increased boldness to proclaim you as you are, the only true God, the only one who can bring salvation, the only one who can bring hope, the only one who really loves us and cares about us and longs to bring us to forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And Father, we just pray that you would open the eyes of people around us and even across the nations, people blinded by what they think are other gods, people blinded by belief systems, by philosophies, by attitudes, by religions that are actually binding them up. We thank you that Christ sets us free. We thank you that the God of the Bible is a God who cares for us deeply and wants to address our deepest problems and deepest needs. And Lord, we ask that we would not give in to the temptation, even in its most subtlest form, to divert our love and our attention from you. Lord, we want to do what Jesus said. We do want to love you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. And again, thank you so much that your urgency, your utter commitment to declaring who you are is not to puff you up, because you're already exalted far above all the universe, anything and everything that's made. Your desire for us to see who you are is so that we can be what you made us to be, free in hope, in joy, in peace, regardless of what's happening in our world, in our wider world, in the political world, in the economic world, in our personal world. Lord, we determine we will have no other God but you, and we thank you that to follow you brings a peace that passes understanding. To follow you means to know Jesus, the one who gave himself for us. Praise his name. Amen.